Hello, I'm Jennifer Neville with this week's Middle East report. Coming up as the war continues in the region, Israel is preparing for national elections later this year. Religion could play an important factor in ending the war, and Iran is flooded with unsold oil. Amid the continuing war in the region, the political system in Israel is preparing for national elections later this year as parties are shuffling around and the president has declined to give the prime minister a pardon at this time. With more on these stories, here is news correspondent Kent Allen.
What was supposed to be a full ceasefire between Israel and the Hezbollah militia in Lebanon has now become only a partial ceasefire, as both sides, Israel and Hezbollah, have restarted fighting, but at a lower level. Regarding Iran, the United States Navy continues its blockade of Iranian ports, while Iran still refuses to let free passage of oil and gas tankers in and out of the Persian Gulf. Israel is facing the next scheduled national elections in this coming October. Being a parliamentary system, elections could come sooner if the governing coalition calls for early elections or if the government loses a vote of no confidence. As such, as an election year, this week, the main news centered around politics. Prime Minister Netanyahu's main two political rivals, Mr. Bennett and Mr. Lapid, this week agreed to unify and form a single party in order to sway voters away from Mr. Netanyahu's governing party. The new Bennett-Lapid party would combine a larger center-right with a smaller center-left. Also, in other political news, last November, Prime Minister Netanyahu petitioned the largely figurehead president of Israel to be granted a pardon in his ongoing trials over charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. This week, the president indicated that he will not be issuing a pardon at this time and instead has called on the prime minister and the courtroom to come up with a plea bargain in which the prime minister would confess to a lesser crime and agree to resign from politics in lieu of potentially going to jail if he is eventually convicted. So Israel is potentially facing a change in wartime leadership should the current war in Israel continue into the winter. This is Kent Allen reporting from Jerusalem.
In other news, we get an update on the war with Iran, plus CBN's Gary Lane talks to Middle East historian Raymond Ibrahim about Shia and end-time beliefs.
Iran's takeover of cargo ships in the Strait of Hormuz is heightening tensions in the region, as questions remain about whether Tehran will return to the negotiating table. President Donald Trump is pressing for a unified response from Iranian leaders to a proposed peace framework. According to the White House, Iran is facing intense pressure as its government struggles under severe economic strain, describing the regime as weakened and nearing financial collapse.
Operation Economic Fury continues, and the effective and successful naval blockade continues as well of ships and vessels that are moving to and from Iranian ports. We are completely strangling their economy through this blockade. They're losing $500 million a day.
Officials indicate Tehran may have a short window, possibly just days, to present its response. The expectations include a halt to nuclear ambitions, an end to support terrorism, and a cessation of threats to key waterways like the Strait of Hormuz. In return, the framework suggests the possibility of economic recovery and stability for the Iranian people, who have endured decades of hardship under the current regime. The administration maintains that despite ongoing diplomatic efforts, the pressure campaign remains firmly in place as it awaits Tehran's next move. Press Secretary Caroline Levitt pushed back on reports of a firm deadline.
I know there's been some anonymous sourced reporting that there was maybe a 3 to 5 day deadline. That is not true. The president has not set a deadline himself. Ultimately, he will dictate the timetable.
Meanwhile, a U.S. intelligence official said Iran still has thousands of missiles and drones that can threaten the U.S. and Israeli forces. In southern Lebanon, the Iran-backed Hezbollah launched rockets at Israeli forces, violating a fragile ceasefire. The Israel Defense Forces responded, striking the launcher. In a separate development, Israeli troops working in close coordination with the local Christian community in the southern Lebanese village of Debel replaced a statue of Jesus at a local church that had been damaged by an IDF soldier. The IDF says its northern command acted promptly after receiving reports of the incident, helping facilitate the restoration. Military officials stated they are taking steps to ensure similar incidents do not happen again. Joshua Swanson, CBN News, Jerusalem.
President Trump says the war with Iran could end soon, but some experts say he's overlooking the most important factor, religion. CBN's Gary Lane spoke with Middle East historian Raymond Ibrahim about Shia end times beliefs, which involve the emergence of one person who will bring about an Islamic world order, the 12th Imam.
The Mahdi is a central figure in both Sunni and Shia Islam. He's an eschatological end time figure. And the word itself means the guided one. So both Sunnis and Shias expect him to return to bring justice and goodness. Now, on the surface, this sounds good. But of course, from an Islamic paradigm, what does that mean? Well, if he's actually bringing goodness, that means he's bringing Islam. He's bringing the Sharia worldview. And he's fighting everyone who is seen as the enemy of Islam, of course. But it's well known that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard especially espouses this ideology. And this ideology is really rife with concepts of martyrdom and sacrifice. So as you can see, this is not the exact mentality that you would want to have weapons of mass destruction or nuclear weapons. But when you have a group whose ideology is very much centered around bringing the end times in a mystical manner, and the end times are to be ushered in when the greatest enemies of Islam are defeated, which from an Iranian perspective would be the two great Satans, of course, the United States and Israel. And then this whole concept, you're probably familiar, you've seen Ashura, where basically the Shias to commemorate the martyrdom of Hussein whip themselves in a frenzy. Okay, so it's this sort of embattled mentality that has gone on for centuries that sees themselves as martyrs, as victims, as having to do whatever they have to do, including whatever sacrifice, in order to bring about the goodness of Islam in the person of the Mahdi.
Well, President Trump knows that. I mean, he said they cannot have a nuclear weapon because of that. So knowing they think this way, how do you then negotiate with them? How do you work deals? Can they be trusted to abide by them?
Well, this is the problem. And then there's another problem that actually compounds this, the first one. And again, it's almost, we can argue, particular to Shia Islam of Iran. And it's the doctrine of Taqiyya. Taqiyya is this doctrine that allows Muslims to dissemble and essentially actively lie vis-a-vis the non-Muslim as required. And it has Quranic verses. One of the most primary ones is Quran 3:28. But what's interesting is if you argue with, and I've been in these debates before, and people, apologists, will argue with me and say, no, it's not it's just a Shia doctrine. And the fact is, Shias have indeed, of course, championed Taqiyya. It's been very much integral to their identity, simply because they were the minority version, the minority Islam sect in the larger sect, the Sunnis. So they had more reason to dissemble around the Sunnis, who would attack and kill them if they knew who they were. So this has gone on for centuries, and it's been said that the Shias are essentially, they have so internalized deception and duplicity. And I'm sorry to have to say this, and I'm not applying this to every single Iranian or even every single Shia, but I would say that it's fair to believe that the Iranian leadership, the regime, and especially, again, the Islamic Revolutionary Corps does internalize and take on aspects of Taqiyya, which essentially allow them to lie and deceive the infidels.
That report was from Gary Lane. Finally, as U.S. naval blockade bottles up Iran's oil exports, Iran is reviving derelict storage sites. Every barrel that can't leave the country must go somewhere, into a tank, onto a ship, into improvised storage sites, or remain underground. Meanwhile, analysts think Iran will run out of room to store the crude it pumps in less than 2 weeks. President Trump said Sunday that it would be about 3 days before Iran's oil infrastructure backs up. Meanwhile, let's pray that the threats from Tehran towards Israel and the United States would be brought to nothing, that the Iranian people would be set free from tyranny, that the Lord would grant the leaders discernment to know when to stand firm and when to negotiate, that his purposes for Israel and the nations may be fulfilled. This ends this edition of the Middle East Report. Please join me again next time with the latest news from Israel and the Middle East. For more details, go to onlinemiddleeastreport.com.